I came in and looked at my deep freeze, and I didn't have any ice cream, green peas, and white bread. And because I didn't have any of those, what they called the basic, I was taken to court for medically neglecting my children.
And
they were all ages. Bear in mind, they had four of them. And it's like, you've got to be kidding. And then I started to get complaints from just a few medical fraternity around. And I thought, and I was starting to do a lot more talks within the community, like in church groups. And I was also working and helping with a lot of youth clubs and so on.
This is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from Tauranga in the Bay of Plenty, I have Janice Priest, well known across the whole of New Zealand as the publisher of Healthy Options and Rainbow News, and still today pushing the envelope in health choices and natural ways to take care of our body temple. So, kia ora, Janice, thank you for wanting to share your story with New Zealanders and those abroad today.
Kia ora to you, Tim. We live in such an amazing country, don't we?
This country is a profound gift, I think, to the world, to allow us to remember nature and to allow us to realise that we can communicate with our neighbours very easily. And I trust that we are a moral compass for the rest of our planet as well.
Oh, absolutely. And this is why New Zealanders, whenever they feel that there is an injustice in this country, especially when it comes to the environment and pollution and our food, then we dig our toes and do something about it. So we have the most amazing grassroots field number through this country. In fact, we just about rule the country. And the politicians think they're doing it, but it's the grassroots.
I think this is the gift, because a lot of people are more grounded. When you are away in many ways from the cities, you can spend more time among nature, birdsong, there's more trees, and you just feel as if you are surrounded and nested in a wonderful environment.
Absolutely. But you see it also in the supermarkets, where the young mothers, when they go in, they're reading labels. You know, people are standing there reading, and you see them putting product back on the shelf. And a lot of these Australian-influenced food companies are having a bit of a struggle here in New Zealand, because people are going to the farmers' markets. They are looking more at natural and organic, and the organic market has really blossomed. But that's our grassroots. This is, we've always been a country of organic until we were influenced by international markets on the relationship of our food produce. And there's very few people now just go solely towards the commercially marketed food.
Very true. Well, I call it industrial or factory farming. And by really clarifying it from that standpoint, people think, oh, industrial, I don't want to eat industrial food. When I come into the city now, I bring my own food with me, because I don't particularly want to go to a restaurant or even a food hall, because I know that a lot of the food is essentially factory food.
Well, you are right, but of course it's happening within the food market itself. And you go to a restaurant now and you can ask for vegetarian, you can ask for dairy-free, you can ask for the food, more simpler foods. And whereas once upon a time, that was not possible. If you were found to be vegetarian or you had food allergies, people used to say, oh, you know, get over it, or you were just strange. Whereas now it's quite acceptable. I mean, everybody talks about being gluten-free. Did you know that in 1996, New Zealand was self-sufficient in wheat, a good, healthy wheat, the sort of wheat that you'll get when you're in Italy, because they're very keen on their simple organic foods. In 1996, Fonterra took over the wheat fields and turned it into dairy. And the New Zealand government started to import this wheat, more toxic wheat. And that's when the gluten-free started to really emerge, and that level has been sustained since. And so it's because of this terribly important wheat. I often say to people, go to Italy, they have the original grain where they grind it themselves and so on. And we need those wheat fields back. Don't need all that dairy that's polluting our aquifers.
There are multiple layers, and as you mentioned before we even spoke on air, the overwhelmers that are present in today's life. How does a human being live on a planet? We need clean air, pure water, we need a real clean food chain, and these three items to keep our body going are just really in trouble. I mean, we're lucky in New Zealand that our air is relatively clear because it's a small country, but again, we need to be able to get on the front foot with our food choices. And this is where you were involved with Healthy Options. In particular, you published every 2 months a magazine that allowed people to really look at some of the things and the opportunities and the healthy tips to go out and access for themselves and buy these food or certain health products. How did this all happen, Janice?
Well, it was quite simple. I was a lifestyler. I had an acre, 4 children to feed, lost my husband, and I grew my own food and everything, and I had, by that time, of course, I'm already a qualified practitioner. There was only a few of us in the country in those days. So I was just quietly getting on with my lifestyle and helping patients, and I had bus tours, used to come into my herbal gardens because I had the Herbal Education Resources Centre, which I still have. But it was about teaching people to get into the garden and what you can pick and use in your everyday life and so on. But after a while, I got really busy, and then the local news media would come up, and because I was a strange woman, and I'd put on a little health expos and so on. The next thing is I get a visit from social services. Somebody had complained that I was neglecting my children. So they all turned up and they were looking around at my food. Now, bear in mind, I was self-sufficient. I had fruit trees, a big garden. I did preserve, baked bread, did everything. They came in and looked at my deep freeze, and I didn't have any ice cream, green peas and white bread. And because I didn't have any of those, what they called the basic, I was taken to court for medically neglecting my children.
That's profound.
All ages. Bear in mind, they had 4 of them. And it's like, you've got to be kidding. And then I started to get complaints from just a few medical fraternity around. And I thought, and I was starting to do a lot more talks within the community, like in church groups. And I was also working and helping with a lot of youth clubs and so on. And I was watching these kids turn up with these inhalers and things. And I thought, nah. This is a world going crazy. Now, I did have a corporate upbringing as well as an organic upbringing, so I had the duality to be able to look at this, and I thought, so I started this little newsletter, and I found it as I was lecturing around the community. I found it that it was easier for women to be able to change their diet if they took some notes home to their husband and their family to read about and say, well, you know, this is better for us and so on. Otherwise, in those days, now we're talking 70s and 80s then. In those days, if you put greens on a plate, the family would protest in a standardized commercial family. So it grew like topsy. It sort of became a little black and white newsletter. It then moved into a magazine, and within 5 years it was on the commercial market and it became international. So it was out every month, and bi-monthly to start with, and then moved into monthly. And then from there I noticed that it was hard for people to learn meditation without being criticized, so then we started Rainbow News magazine.
Yes.
And that was the holistic side. But that in itself had other managers, but it came back to me a few years later. But it was healthy options that really started the journey, because people had that thirst. They wanted to know what else to do, because grandmother recipes and stories and cures were being whitewashed by the medical profession. People were laughing at grandmother cures. And now scientists are starting to investigate grandmother cures. So we've had two or three generations where women have lost that contact with their grandmothers. The recipe books were disappearing off the shelves. Even the Women's Weekly, up until 1975, they had home tips in there, and it thrived. But of course, women, you know, would present themselves to the doctor and say, yes, I'm using some kawakawa on my leg or calendula or whatever, and they get rubbished.
Yes.
That's why I really started the magazine. And also I was watching the whole medical field become overwhelmed by the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, when they first started influencing the medical, it was, you know, sell 10 and you can have a trip to the island.
That's it.
The bribery was appalling. And so they'd say to people, oh, here, common language, here, take this, try this. If it doesn't work, come back. You just imagine any other profession that did that, they'd soon go out of business.
Yeah, I hear you very clearly. And so with Healthy Options, I mean, it started to gather a groundswell across the country. Lots of people were looking forward to receiving it from the standpoint when you publish straight away, you know, the next month. And I know I worked at Goody's Bookshop for a wee while.
All right.
And it come through there too. And again, it was a very important magazine for New Zealanders because of New Zealand content and the fact that it was with Rainbow News, it was also like a unifying principle for alternative New Zealand.
It was a networking process because I realised many years ago how strong our grassroots field is in this country, and it was an opportunity to network. So what started off was just getting some easy home tips for families so that they didn't have such huge medical bills and things you could deal with at home, and also alleviate chronic conditions as well. Then developed into a networking, because I found as I moved around and was interviewing people, all stories would come in. I'd find practitioners had their offices raided and all of their stuff taken, or they were threatened. And of course, the media were spent a good couple of decades rubbishing natural health in whatever way possible. And then the medical influence was supposed to be the truth, the way, and the light.
Yes.
But it wasn't. It was just creating an endemic of more drugs and more reactions and more health statistics have dramatically increased. Now, you'd think that if these drugs actually worked, our health statistics at the level it is at the moment would have decreased. So it just became an insanity. So then we realised that the pharmaceutical industry were influencing the politicians. So that's where we started lobbying. And this is where the magazine became the voice of the networking that went on for the protesting, as we were protesting at the influence over our choice of healthcare and food.
Well, what I know that particularly in the mid-1980s, New Zealand was starting to really get involved with the nuclear-free movement, and so that brought in another area. And then also there was the fact that people were really aware of the holistic message. A lot of people were starting to look at spirituality from another standpoint. There were a lot of books like Supernature had been around for a wee while, The Secret Life of Plants. James Lovelock and the Gaia Hypothesis came out. Rupert Sheldrake with Morphic Resonance and the 100th Monkey Principle, as well as Marilyn Ferguson and the Aquarian Conspiracy. There were so many different authors breaking out into this new realm that there were many different spiritual modalities as well at that particular time coming into the public consciousness. And Rainbow News covered a wide variety of subject matter that neatly dovetailed with healthy options.
Well, there was, as you said, there was this deluge of New Age literature that was coming into the country. Well, it was going worldwide. And Louise Hay and all of these other inspiring writers, and the books were appearing. So it was my pleasure to be able to review all of these books, get the interviews with these people, so we'll keep their image and their messages focused in the magazine. So that became really, really important to actually have that present for people that were struggling. So yes, it was a wonderful journey.
Now, can I mention, we started off with natural health, but there's words like alternative medicine that then became sort of complementary health and then again integrated medicine. Can you explain a little about this? Because essentially they are the same thing. However, it needs possibly to be clarified for people who just want to lead a healthy lifestyle.
Very interesting you should bring up those. So in those earlier days, we were just hippies. Of course, you know, with the nuclear-free protesting that we did, we were just hippies, you know. But then suddenly that change was taking place. We became a nuclear-free country, and it was like, these hippies have sort of maybe have got a strong message, or a strong unity anyway. So suddenly we were alternative. And then as the grassroots field in the country itself started to realise that we did have a very important message about healthy living, then the medical profession started to look at it and go, so maybe it might work in with what we're doing. So then they became interested, so it became complementary. Now that there's more medical people interested, then we've now become integrative medicine. But it's interesting because I was on national health boards. I was on the natural health industry regulatory board, sitting there with the regulators trying to work with a lot of the documentation processes. And I challenged them each time they titled us alternative, complementary, integrative and so on. And I said, actually, the Department of Health comply to the World Health Organization, and the World Health Organization has always called us traditional medicine. And these are the documents that come into our health organizations, government health organizations in the country, and they ignore the words traditional medicine. And 80% of the world's population are traditional medicine, who use their traditional medicine first before their drugs.
Wise. Yes, very wise. And so they say that in New Zealand, recently a medical journal noticed that there was a 30% drop in the client base blaming natural therapies.
Yes, they had a medical conference. When was it? When the date passes me. I have written all about it in my book.
Page 172.
But they had a conference in which they declared that 30% of their patient drop because of the interest of people taking to prevention and doing more things for themselves. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened.
Yes, because we have to realise that big business and the drug cartels really want to be able to control the narrative in relationship to how we heal ourselves, because I want to drop this in because I think this is very important, that in 2007, the New Zealand Business Roundtable noted that the natural health industry had the highest growth rate at 19% per annum than any other business in New Zealand.
Well, that's very interesting that you've mentioned that, because that was just before the elections. And the National Party, well, at the time we had Tony Ryle, who was our Minister of Health, and he was very interested in natural health. And I mean, even when we had adversaries like the previous Minister of Health, Annette King, she was started to take supplements as well. But even though they became interested, they were still lobbying against regulating us. And then suddenly it was like the roundtable did a research and the National Party went, hang on a minute, we're going to lose all these voters. So Tony Ryle said, yes, we will support you and do things to support your industry if you vote us in. And so it took after the national election for the Labour Party to think, hang on a minute, we didn't support all those voters. I'll give you an example. After we had all that national protest to stop the Australians from taking over our medicine regulations, I mean, that took 12 years and there were thousands of people involved in the protest movement because Annette King was driving it. She was going to send all of our regulations over to Australia, and the regulatory boards were all made up of pharmaceutical and medical. So, cut a long story short, we halted that harmonisation proposal. And then there was a meeting in 2009. The pharmaceutical industry, of course, lost the chance to monopolise New Zealand, as they had done in Australia. So they called up a meeting with the trade ministers, and I had a colleague in on the meeting, because I was also advisor to the Māori health minister. So what happened was, they're sitting around the table, and the pharmaceutical lawyers and so on were banging the table and saying, why didn't this process go through? It should have gone through. It's your fault, Annette King, for not seeing it through. And then he turned around and said, well, if we'd realised that the grassroots industry field in New Zealand was so strong, which we didn't know, we would have thrown money at the campaign and won. So they had no idea that our organic, healthy living people in this country had such a strong voice. So then they said, all right, we're going to pack up and we're going to leave this country and take all our manufacturing with us, and all your drugs that are coming into New Zealand are going to be more expensive, and that's your penalty. So the Māori minister said, well, that's fine. When you come back, you're going to have to come back through me, meaning through Māori. So they left, and ever since then, they've been trying to get back into the country, but and it's no go. Because we found out along the way that all of the ministries, all the health departments, and all their documentation didn't have Māori approval. They've adopted kai into the food, but there were no regulations that had been approved by Māori, and we're a mutual trading country. So the elders, we sat around and the elders told the departments that they had to rewrite all of their documentation, all of their proposals, everything where they were pushing to change food and diet and supplements and health and so on. They have to rewrite all their documents. A, they don't have the money. B, they don't have the time. And they reckon that it'll take about 20 years to get the documentation completely. I'm talking about legislative as well as proposals. And the elders, Murray elders, said, well, it's all right. When you do get it written, we'll have to read it and approve of it. So that's not going to happen. So this is why there's been no more changes to our food and our resources through government legislation.
This is part of the Treaty of Waitangi process, yes.
This goes is actually earlier than this. This goes back to the 1835 trade documents, not the Treaty of Waitangi. It goes back to the 1835 documents.
Yes, that's the red cross on a white background. Is that right? The flag?
Yes, it's where the trade agreement was signed by the spiritual heads of Māoridom and the representatives of each country. That's why they brought Pompilia's bones out here about 10 years ago to re-acknowledge that 1835 trade document. So all trade has to be co-signed. And so these pharmaceutical industries that have been influencing our country don't have their agreement. So New Zealand is safe.
Well, that's a blessing, a major blessing. Thank you for sharing this, Janice.
It's a major, absolute major.
Because, I mean, at heart, both of us, we've always wanted New Zealand to be a mover and a shaker in the planetary stage, because at heart we as a country, we're a healthy country. We've got what you call a fairly good education system. Once upon a time, everybody could virtually get there by their own house. We are, in many ways, a garden where people can really fulfill their potential as a country. This is why our sports teams have always been so good and so successful, is because we've been able to find a happy balance between work and leisure and sleep, like the 8-hour day working and then 8 hours of pleasure and 8 hours of sleep. There's something here in this country that really resonates well with a lot of people who visit.
Well, we're great do-it-yourselfers. We don't mind having our hands in the soil, but unfortunately now, because they cannot make any legislative changes over our food and medicines, they're now looking at other aspects, and we're being influenced from different angles. They're bringing in more multicultures that are not conducive to our lifestyle. We're hoping to be able to influence that by them just being in this beautiful country and influencing. And there was a wonderful interview on TV last night, actually, about a Chinese man who had learnt Mandarin. He had several languages, and he had learnt the Maori language. And he said now he understood spirituality by learning more Te Aro with the language. So we will overwhelm those that come in with a different culture, but unfortunately then the real estate market comes in. So as long as we keep our grassroots focus and demand healthy food, and all we've got to worry about now is the influence, you know, the banking and the commercial food and the pharmaceutical drugs that are coming in.
Because New Zealand is supposed to be one of the only, there's only two countries on our planet that you can actually advertise certain pharmaceuticals across TV during prime time.
Well, the American answer is, of course, is to overwhelm this country with TV shows that are all showing medical hospitals and medical alarms. And I mean, how many are there on television? Just medical shows? And of course, they're not real. It's all out acting.
I don't have TV myself, so
no. I don't count either. But I know there are several shows, and that is to try and influence our psyche. You see, after we stopped the Trans-Tasman harmonisation, then they tried the Trans-Tasman other trade proposal, but they've all been watered down. So then the pharmaceutical industry went to Obama, and that's when America started to come in a bit heavier. But then we signed the Chinese trade deal. That made America panic, and now suddenly they've forgiven us for our nuclear free, and they sent some ships down, hoping to appease us. And now we've got a diplomatic relation with America, but only just. New Zealanders can't get a green card to get into America. But they're kind of looking at us a bit differently. So Obama sent his insurance company down here, AIG, to influence us.
Uh-huh.
They're our underwriters. That's why they're on the rugby shirts, AIG.
Yes.
And now they're influencing all of our insurance aspects. And, of course, they don't like too much outside influence, and so you've got to look at recheck your insurance policies. But it all comes back, and I mean, this is where it, you know, for, you know, people like you and I, where we've always been at that level playing field about eat healthy, do meditate, you know, take the world in its simple steps to be well. There will always be something somewhere that will, some commercial entity that will try and influence us. And it is happening. People are being influenced away from traditions.
Well, I I hear you very clearly. I know that through the port of Tauranga, 186,000 tonnes of jigi soybeans came through about 4 or 5 years ago and were used for poultry feed and also pig feed. And I know of other instances of certain grains that are coming into this country and they're not really being looked at closely by border security. If you go down to Napier, I was in the Hawke's Bay last year and I photographed orange fields, and these orange fields were sprayed with Monsanto's Roundup. And what happens is that, and I'll tell you this one because it's really important to people, for people to know, that at the end of spring, there may be some old grass growing in a paddock. Well, what happens is that they will spray this old grass, kill it off so that they can then sow another crop straight afterwards. But what they do is after spraying, they'll allow it 4 days after the spraying to bring in cattle, or should I say cows, to eat this. And so the cows are eating this Roundup sprayed grass, and then there are situations where they are milked, or there's the meat goes to the animal goes to the abattoirs. So we're having a huge problem with this. Nobody's speaking up for it at present because we don't seem to have anybody. The Green Party have, I don't know, bailed out, and the organic groups in New Zealand, which are growing strong, for some unknown reason, haven't focused their attention on this. But I've got photos to sort of prove that these orange fields have been sprayed by Roundup.
I had a call, because I'm still in clinical practice and I still run the Herbal Education Centre. I had a call this morning from a lady who was panicking because they had just sprayed Roundup in the field next to her and it killed all her bees. She said she had around 6,000 bees and it killed them all. It's an insanity. It's just complete insanity. If we don't seriously start looking after our bees and planting for the bees, we're going to be in trouble. The food production side. And this is the insanity of these commercial entities that think that they're going to produce more food by spraying and using the chemicals they're using, but they're not. What's happening, and it was another reason that was really driving me with the magazine, which, by the way, lasted for 28 years.
Well done.
Wow.
Mm.
And then of course, the corporate world came for me because I was creating too much of a nuisance of myself. But one of the things that's happened, so I've come back to clinical practice, but what I'm seeing now in people is malnutrition.
I can understand that.
What you think, you know, that you think that, you know, looks like a normal healthy person, it's malnutrition. And the medical are having to adopt standardized medical nutrition technology to try and assess what's going wrong with people. And up until this stage, they've just been overdosing on antidepressants everywhere. But a lot of people that I see that come into the clinic are suffering from malnutrition because they're eating this standardized, commercially sprayed crop food.
I agree, yes. This is, as I said, getting back to industrial food, factory food. And if you're not growing your own food, like fortunately I am, particularly greens, a wide range of greens, and picking daily, you're going to find yourself
suffering from malnutrition.
That's it, because one of the big things too is that I've got a full range of minerals going into the garden from all my compost, and I'm getting seaweed from a beach so far away from any industry, and I'm doing it myself with horse manure, etc. This is the only way for us really to go forward, is to people to take power back into their own hands. There's about 75 community gardens here in Auckland alone that the, believe it or not, the South Auckland or the Manukau Health Board decided to encourage these gardens all over the place and using parts of parks, etc. And I think they're starting to even move into church properties.
Yes.
Growing this food, and there's an influx of all sorts of people. This is where all the different races who are here, the immigrants, can actually come, work the soil, share recipes, make enduring friendships. It is a wonderful health story.
And every community, those that haven't been able to have identified that there's something wrong with them, so they go into health food stores and buying supplements to supplement their malnutrition. And this is why so many people are taking supplements, because they know the food is poor quality because of the chemicals. You take organophosphates, which is so common, and insecticides and Roundup. It's just in everybody. Every hair test that I do, it comes up in everybody.
Excuse me, so you're finding in hair analysis, you're finding Roundup in the hair?
And organophosphate. They're two of the top ones. I mean, there's always a lot of other things depending upon a person's environment and the lifestyle and so on, but they're the two. If you buy, I mean, organophosphates are very high in broccoli and lettuce because they are very vulnerable green in the garden. And it's the one that the insects just love. And so whatever food the insects love, you know it's good and healthy for you. And so they're heavily sprayed, especially with organophosphate. You must eat organic broccoli and organic lettuce and organic greens. There's no other way around it. You can supplement your vitamin C, you can supplement your vitamin D and so on, but when it comes to your potassium and your healthy greens, which your organs depend upon, you must eat organic green vegetables. I mean, it's so easy to grow parsley. Anybody can grow parsley.
Very true. Yes, I have heard that celery is sprayed 14 times, and also onions as well. So, and I have heard that potatoes now are being sprayed so that they won't give out any little modules or anything like that. So commercial potatoes, a fish and chip shop and that sort of thing, it's a no-no as well. And New Zealanders, anybody listening, we have to get really savvy that regrettably the commercial sector are not going to take care of our health.
Well, the interesting thing is, people, as long as they identify about the power of the purse, because the commercial world depends upon their profit margins. So when you go to buy something that's good for you and your family, good and healthy. And that way you influence the market. And of course, this is what's happening now. I still get international news assessments because of the connections I had in the magazines. And now all of the researchers and the information coming through to companies are all talking about adjusting the food colouring, bringing in more natural food colouring. They're talking about standardising nutrition, having more healthier food, trying to find more natural ways to stabilise food in the supermarket. So we are witnessing huge changes in that aspect, whereas before it was like, oh, the longer the shelf life, the better the profit. And now people are, the shock people had that peanut butter was being made in China was enough to make people go in and buy their own nuts and blend their own nuts. That's so much healthier for you. And for some families, they don't have the time, but there's more organic shops around now.
Oh, yes, Organic New Zealand is definitely, Brendan Hoare, he's really right out there in front, cranking New Zealanders along to make sure that we get the best of food growing from our land. But one of the other things, too, I've noticed, if you go to a supermarket, you will find that the best New Zealand food is exported. All of the best food is exported. And supermarkets now, in many cases, are getting second-grade fruit, second-grade vegetables and possibly meat, and then there's the independent groceries, which are the next layer down, getting the third grade. So the best goes overseas, whatever's left goes to supermarkets, and then whatever's left after that goes to the independent, very localised groceries, and the product is not necessarily very good at all, but this is how it seems to be in New Zealand.
Well, in days gone by, we always used to go out to the local orchard or the local, wherever it was growing apples, berries, whatever those. And that's what we need to do again, go back. Go to the orchards that are growing. Go take your Sunday morning or afternoon out and go and pick your berries and go and then you'll know that it hasn't had all the sprays and chemicals to stabilize it and packaging and everything that goes with it in the supermarket, because you're going back to the source of the food. Because the process, I mean, it was a very important part of the magazine to find out where food was coming from and how it was being marketed. So I used to get the supermarket readouts and printouts as to the type of food that was selling and or not selling and so on. The top food in supermarkets, the top food that's sold on a weekly basis is Coca-Cola.
Always? It seems it's to be always Coca-Cola.
Yep. Well, it's cheaper than water now. Then you've got bread, which was white bread, and then you've got ice cream.
Yes, ice cream is the most cheapest food product that can be manufactured in New Zealand, a doctor told me 3 weeks ago.
They're the top sales. And then it's filtering down. But the commercial lists now are changing. There is a subtle change coming through on the sales. Gluten-free products are selling more because people are now identifying with their food allergies. They feel better when they're off the stodgy food. And even a lot of the takeaway places are introducing sugar-free and gluten-free and so on. So those subtlety, but when you go in the supermarket and suddenly see cheap fruit or cheap meat or so on, special this week, cheap apples, you know that's the apples that they couldn't export because it had something wrong with it.
Sad but true.
So you must bypass that temptation to go, oh, the apples are cheap this week. Just walk past them and go down the aisle and get something just a little bit more expensive, because in the end, you're going to be absorbing so much more organophosphate and you're going to end up with a headache, muscle aching, stomach ache. And organophosphates and these sort of growth phosphates, they affect your memory. So many people wander around the moment going, oh, I can't remember. What was it you were saying? What was I doing? Doesn't happen when you eat organic.
And drink real high-quality, pure, vital water?
Yes, well, I've just recently written and launched a book called Ocean of Drugs, because in the snowballing effect of the increase in food preservatives and the increase in medication that's been prescribed and the amount of organophosphates that are being used, people are eating these and taking the drugs. I have patients that come into the clinic and it's nothing for them to be on about 12 different types of medication. Half the time they don't know what it's for. And they turn up with all these tablets and you go, but they're ingesting all of this, and this is why I've written the book, because they're peeing that into the water supply. And that's where now our water is at risk because of the amount of contamination. People think, oh, yes, when you eat something that we just pee, that's fine. But that chemical level in your urine cannot be filtered out in the water treatment plants. I always joke when I'm wandering around doing any lectures, and I've got people that are, are you going to travel overseas? Oh, yeah, I'm off to New York. I said, well, when you go there, you don't need to take your medication because it's all in the water.
Well, I know there's sad stories about estrogen and the water supply of it going into the Everglades, and alligators are giving birth to baby alligators via the egg, and alligators without penises and God knows what else, and herons and birds, they're growing without eyes solely because it's interfering with the exact timing as the embryo goes through its particular stage. Certain things happen and as the body grows more complicated, and these drugs are affecting the animals. And so I agree with you, and I know that in the Napa Valley up in California, they're finding that all the wines, when they do a test for glyphosate, sure enough, every single winery in the Napa Valley, other than organic, had glyphosate in their wine.
Mm, that's right. And you'll go to these people and they'll say, oh, no, it's spraying, but it's in the water. It's that they're using it and it intensifies in the aquifer. I am the last person in the world to panic or go extreme. I grow my own food, I do simple things and have that lifestyle. It's just that we now have to be aware that this is happening. I mean, if you grow strawberries, you know what it's like to go out and pick a strawberry, or you go to a local strawberry grower and you pick and eat that. That's so sweet. But then you go in the supermarket and you buy those, or tomatoes, they're tasteless. And the difference in there is the chemical changes that takes place between when it's grown and when it's got all the chemicals to make it last longer on the shelves. I mean, a strawberry goes hard within a couple of days after you pick it, but in the supermarket, it's still soft and healthy looking because it's got so much preservative and sprays on it, you know. So it's a reality. It's not being, what do you call a person who's over-enthusiastic about these sort of views? It's our reality.
It comes down to conscious choices. We, as a humanity, we really have to become very, very conscious from now on in relationship to everything, how we see the whole planet, how we see our neighbours, the fact that our biosphere is under such stress at the moment. It's very important for us to be able to do these things that make a difference and factor our children into every equation.
Absolutely, Tim. The reality is that cancers have increased. Now, why have cancer increased? We should be healthy. We shouldn't have these diseases. When I first started nursing back in the 60s, if we got a child in with eczema or asthma, we used to think it was terrible. End of the world.
Yes.
Look at the level of eczema and asthma now.
Astonishing. It's huge.
And look at the liver cancers now. They're now saying 1 in 5 people are going to get a cancer diagnosis. Like, you have got to be kidding, all right? So why? So you've got to stop and you've got to go back and go, what am I eating and what am I doing that my body has rebelled against me? And make that assessment and start unraveling that. I mean, I do get people that aren't taking it seriously and they've gone to juicing and things like that, but they're not doing organic juices. They're making it worse by buying the commercial carrots and the commercial apples that are full of these chemicals, and they're juicing it to get a concentrated form of it and wonder why they're not getting better.
It has to be, in many ways, a shift in the paradigm. That's where we need to really go. I mean, if you go to farmers markets, which is a very good place to start if you are in an apartment building and you can't grow your own food, and set up a relationship with the person that you are buying food off. And I lived in Hawaii for a wee while, and I used to go down to the farmers markets, and I set up a resonance with the different producers, and I knew who was producing organic food, and I'd ask them, is this organic? And after a while, you find out that who's the real honest person and who's not, and in the end, I was getting the best product because the farmers market gave it to me cheaper, it was fresh, and I could have a relationship with the person who was selling it. And I think supermarkets are so distant. There's always so many different staff there, and the staff are so busy, and they're running around, and you say, where is this growing? Now, you've got mangoes from Australia. Can I have a look at the label there? Has it been irradiated? And a lot of them don't even know about the fact that a lot of fruit now coming out of Australia, particularly Queensland, is irradiated.
I know. Some of our herbs.
With cesium 137. So we have to be really alert. And we've got to go in there and buy our food and turn it into an expedition to make sure that the end product is that you become a healthy being.
And this is why it is so difficult for the average person who's got a busy lifestyle. They don't have the time, and it gets too hard because they're already feeling unwell. And so searching all that, so that they depend upon the organic shops now to provide them with what they want. But it's a catch-22, and we're right in one of the most toxic periods of history, and we have to change, and it's got to start in just simple ways. I gave a talk on Saturday at a woman's retreat. I was on a panel, and I was talking to the woman about their future. If you want a healthier future, stop using all the commercial food. And if you're not sure, then just start the day in your bathroom and go, what's organic and what's natural? You don't need the perfume soap. You don't need the perfume sanitizers. You don't need the chemical makeup. You don't need, and so on. And just go slowly through. You don't need the fluoride toothpaste. Just slowly go through the list and just next time you're purchasing, just do something simple and just start that way. Then start with breakfast. And that way it's a lot easier. But if you look at the chemical structure of food during the day, you'll be appalled at how many chemicals are going into your body, and then you wonder why you're unwell.
I hear you very clearly. So, Janice, thank you so much for wanting to share and get in there and let people and remind people, particularly all your readers of Vesta Year, that one, you're totally on it at this moment, and also you're reminding people that what we take into our body has to be of the highest quality, that it has to have some love behind it. Can you finish and just share maybe a little half a minute story of something that really allowed your heart to feel, yes, we are going to be successful in changing New Zealand into a healthy, organic, free and happy country?
Well, it's easy. It's already happening. We've already made a difference on the international circuit. We've already kicked these polluters out. And so we've just still got isolated pockets of it. Certainly don't buy from Australian and American influence companies because you know their food's polluted. Keep your sense of humour, eat simply, and enjoy the gifts of nature that is already there to help heal your mind and body.
This is wonderful, and I've got Ocean of Drugs, The Demise of Healthy Options. Your book here, I have found every page, and I'll tell you what, it's just loaded with info. This is profound what you've produced here. I only encourage New Zealanders, listeners everywhere, to check this book out, because this will shatter any illusion of being healthy in this country going down the path of the commercial industrial food people. And where's the best place to get your book? We can go to healthyoptions.co.nz. Is that the best place?
The best place is to go to janicepriest.com. That's the easiest.
Okay.
That's the easiest one. Or you can go under herbaleducation.co.nz as well. And there are other books that I've written over the years. And if you just want natural health aid and natural remedies, I wrote another one back in 85, which was Can You Remember What to Take? And that's still selling to help families to help themselves.
This is wonderful. Janice, thank you for wanting to just tell your story, but more so to rev us all up so that we become a more healthy, integrated, loving, dynamic people here in this country. Thank you.
Blessings, Tim. Blessings, everyone.
Okay, well, boy, thank you, Janice. I'll tell you what, you're going to have to come back in another year because you've got so much info that needs to get out.
I've got some great stories through Healthy Options. My goodness gracious me, you'll read as you go through the book. I've got some great, mind you, we've all got great stories, but I've been in and out of courts, I've been in and out of, had a price on my head. I mean, some of those are in the book, but yeah, it's been an amazing journey that we've all had, just like you.
Yeah.
But we've stayed true to it.
Very much so. Yeah, this book is fantastic. It really is. I might have to just throw that in there somewhere.
I've also got a lot of, like, green home books, and I've still got a lot of the health tip books that I produced over the years. I produced enough of them so that it would last me, to the kitchen cupboard remedies. And we can talk about recipes for each season that people can do, not just scaring people. Yeah,
well, scaring people. Well, they need a shakeout. They need a shakeout at this moment, Janice, because we just haven't got anybody else in the holistic health really shaking the people out. They've become comfortably numb.
Yes, although they got a real shock when the magazine didn't turn up.
I hear you. We've got to get together again. Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Radio.
Right.
Bye. That's Dr. Janice Priest. She's the ex-publisher of Healthy Options and Rainbow News, and she runs the Herbal Education and Wellbeing Resources Centre down in Tauranga, and you can best contact her through janicepriest.com or healthyoptions.co.nz. I would like to read from Janice's book, Ocean of Drugs, The Demise of Healthy Options, from page 164. It says, given that Western medicine dominates the health system, the different approaches to health therapies has meant that within Western countries, one could not practice any form of traditional medicine without experiencing some form of disproportionate conflict. New Zealand's history shows such irrational fear, dating as far back as the passing of the 1907 Tauhanga Suppression Act, which banned the practice of Maori spiritual healing. The act was not rescinded until 1962, but it took until the end of 1990 before Maori tauhangas were allowed to openly practice their traditional healing rituals among their own whānau and family and in any hospital environment without being challenged by health authorities, even though their ancestors granted the land takituku that all New Zealand hospitals are built on. This generous land transaction followed the Treaty of Waitangi, where Maori tribes exchanged free land for free health care during the mid-1800s. Generations of politicians and health departments have overlooked the generosity of this original trade treaty as they determined the destiny of public hospitals and community health, which overshadowed the agreement that every hospital in the country was built on land donated by local Maori tribes. Now, isn't that astounding information? 2019, the year of transition. Is there anyone worth listening to about our common future? Well, there's going to be an evening with Bill Watson, author, cross-cultural psychologist, consulting astrologer, and bioenergetic medical practitioner, talking about the year of the pig and going to illuminate the possibilities, because each year an animal comes to visit. What can we expect from the pig? This is interesting. Yes, the Chinese astrology is a very unique understanding of how things work. So enjoy a stimulating and informative presentation with forecasts for the year ahead through the lenses of both Chinese eight-character astrology and human design, followed by a question and answering session. Where? At the Blockhouse Bay Boat Club at the seaside end of Endeavour Street here in Auckland, this Friday, March the 1st, from 7 to 9pm. Contribution is $5 at the door to cover the venue hire. This is most probably the best deal in the Southern Hemisphere. And for more information, email bill@accessasiabiz.com. bill@accessasiabiz.com. You will gain insights to a cosmology that I don't think anyone can articulate as well as Bill in this whole country. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send. And remember, even Facebook. To tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.6 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. And become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM, and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And or Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say Kia Kaha and Haere Ura.